Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. And you think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers that they probably will never ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey there, hill folk, and welcome back to another episode of Appalachian Intelligence. We are extremely, extremely thankful that y'all could join us again for another week, for another edition of AI. With you tonight is your hosts, Justin and Lance. Ryan can't be with us tonight, so it's a good thing we have three. But Lance, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing great, Justin. Glad to be here recording again. I do want to, before we get started, had a listener come up this week and was like, hey, y'all need you to drop some more content. Going crazy at the house. She's had it there. Husband has fallen ill and had some health complications, and she says she's needing something to listen to. So, Miss Teresa, here's your episode. Hope you enjoy it, and I hope Jeff gets to feel better and let you know that we're praying for both of you all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Y'all are in our prayers, and we do apologize again. It's been a couple weeks again since we've released our last episode. I told y'all that we would eventually figure this thing out again, and we will. We will eventually figure this out again. It's just, I know we keep saying it all the time. Y'all keep hearing it, but life's crazy, and we're three dudes with full families and full-time jobs and a lot of stuff going on all the time. But there's, in our personal lives, mine in particular, there's not even just light at the end of the tunnel anymore. We're out of the tunnel. We are.
The door is open and the sunshine feels good.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I should be having a lot more free time on my hands to be able to take the podcast back up a few notches on the priority meter, and we should be able to start releasing content like we were at one point, you know, one episode a week at least, and putting stuff over on the Patreon and being in the community and just hanging out with y'all, even if it is virtually and digitally, more than what we have been able to do these last few months. But those of you that have stuck around and been patient through this entire time, we really, really do appreciate y'all. I mean, y'all could abandon us at any point, but even though this is our third episode that we've recorded in the last 2 months, I just looked at that. our third episode in the last 2 months, we still have pretty much the same download numbers. Y'all ain't leaving. Y'all ain't forgetting about us. Y'all ain't just kicking us off to the side and saying, nah, y'all ain't putting out as much as what we would like to. So we're leaving you behind and looking for greener pastures somewhere else. You're sticking around. You're still sharing the show. You're still sending love. And we appreciate that. We really do. Y'all know where you can find us. All the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube, all those places. One of those ways that you guys show love is through those 5-star ratings and reviews. We do ask that you keep sending those 5-star ratings and reviews. And you know that we like to read a couple out every episode. So we'll do two for this week. The first one comes from Tennessee Hound Guy. Says 5 stars. Fantastic show. Love the podcast. Great banter. And I like the crazy corner. They should talk about squirrels more. Huh. Maybe we should talk about squirrels more. I don't know exactly what that means, but they are crazy little critters. Those squirrels. And one time, Ray Stevens had a whole story about one going berserk.
In the Free Will Baptist Church?
Yep. Sure did. Tennessee Hound Guy, we appreciate those 5 stars. We appreciate the review. The next one comes from Greetings Earthlings. It's 5 stars. It says, genuine. I absolutely love this show. They're a blast to listen to. And not only that, but they're genuinely good folks. I appreciate how much they care and prioritize their families. And you can sense it in how they treat their listeners. This is the one show I'm always looking forward to and checking for new episodes. Keep it coming. Well, Greetings Earthlings, we appreciate that review big time. And you are, you're right about part of that. I mean, we are genuine and we do love our families, but I don't know about all your love and fandom for the show. It's, I still don't get it. I still don't get it. Must be doing something right. But anyway, we appreciate those 5-star reviews. Y'all keep sending them our way, and we'll keep reading what you put out there. And even if it ain't a 5-star review, if it's a 1-star review, we'll still read it when we get to it because those are hilarious sometimes. Y'all can't. We're like M in the last rap battle in 8 Mile, son. There's nothing that you can say to us or about us that we ain't already thinking and saying about ourselves.
Or said to each other.
Or say to each other on a regular basis. If not worse. But we do appreciate all the love. We appreciate your guys' support. All the way around. Everything that y'all do. We wouldn't be where we're at without you hill folk listeners and viewers. We appreciate you. So let's get into this thing. Oh, before we get into, you know, you can send us your stories still, even though we've been sporadic, you can still send us your stories, AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. Some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about today, if you've had any of these experiences, please send them our way because I'm really trying to learn more about the subject and about what's going on with it. I haven't had the time to put a whole lot of research into the topic we're going to be getting into today, but it's something that I'm currently diving into on the research digitally and virtually side of it, book side of it, reading side of it, but also in the field side of it. So send us those stories and send us any experiences that you have after you hear what we're getting ready to talk about. Before we jump into that, Lance, any weirdness your way?
I went through a spell there. Yeah, I went through a spell there where there was like a ton of stuff happening. Back around the beginning of the year, like I was hearing my littlest daughter like call for me and like they weren't here or she wasn't around. Like I had that going on, right? UFOs galore. My wife would say UFOs that we were seeing, and we're seeing a lot of them. You know, not necessarily, I guess, UFOs, but things that weren't planes that we couldn't really fully identify or describe. So I guess UAP. But for the most part, things have settled a little bit. I haven't heard the voices, I guess. That's the way to put it, I guess, hearing voices. I haven't heard that in quite some time. We still see a large variety of things in the sky. My wife sends me pictures every couple of days, things, and we actually, other people now, that coworkers and friends that she has, are sending her pictures as well and want to know what we think they are. So that kind of thing happens a lot again, but you know, we live by an airport here, and it's an interesting building beside of me, and there are all kinds of other things happening around. So I don't think that's super out of the ordinary. But I will say that the last two or three weeks, there has been a hoodoo that has taken root here close, that I have heard in the middle of the day, which is really, really weird. And it's definitely an owl, but it is right in the middle of the day, and I'm outside working around doing whatever, that I will hear the call of the owl. I don't know, it's weird. My wife feeds birds. She loves watching birds. We have
me too. Hey,
every kind of native bird that's native to the area is at our house. At any given time, there's six or seven cardinals and blue jays and sparrows, and we've got pigeons that are coming by and crows and just everything you could possibly think of. And I don't know if that is the fact that the feeder out has kind of brought that in. Owls don't eat. I've never seen an owl on the bird feeder. I would assume they would eat the bird. I don't know. I'm not a birdologist, whatever that would be. What is that, Justin? What's a bird? Avianologist? I don't know.
There you go.
Actual.
I don't know if it's an actual.
Yeah, avianologist,
thing.
I guess. I'm not.
Sounded good. It sounded really good, though. I liked it.
It just came in quick there. Firing on all cylinders and that. So, or just the fact there's so many of those birds around that the owl's here to hunt them, maybe. I don't know if owls eat other birds. Do they?
I don't know. I mean, usually, from what I know, it's small rodents, you know.
Mice. Yeah, rodents and stuff. So I don't know if, you know, we have an abundance of that. Now, I don't know. I don't have a real good reason. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they would probably eat smaller birds if they could get to them. Oh, yeah.
And owl's a bird of prey, right?
Yeah. It's going to eat. Well, I mean, it would pick up a small child if they're big enough to do it, you know.
So
I don't know.
Anyhow, it has taken up residence on the hillside behind my back porch.
But see, man, that's so interesting, because every time that I pick up the research again and speak publicly and openly about the she demon that we bring up here all the time, Lilith, every time that we start diving back into that, we have owls show up like crazy. I sent you guys that audio.
That was weird.
So
like an owl. I don't know what that was.
I sent it. I sent that, and I'll post the audio. If I wanted to edit enough and was smart enough, I would paste it right here. But it's not going to be there, so I'll put it in the socials, because I don't want to spend that much time working on it. I'll put it in the socials so you guys can hear it too and give us your opinions on it. But I came home the other night, and I hear owls all the time, like all the time, especially, and maybe it's just that I recognize it more and I'm searching for it. I don't know. But hearing owls at night around my place is it's a pretty recurring theme around here. It's no big deal, really. Now, you know, when they come and they start like standing and perching on the light pole on the end of my walkway and just like making eye contact with me and won't move whenever I'm walking that way, that's a little different story. A little creepy. When they swoop down in front of me as I'm walking up the walkway toward the driveway and pick up a frog, like, you know, 5 feet away from me, it's a little creepy. And then when I hear one that sounds like an owl sheep baby hybrid in the woods, then it gets really creepy.
It's a strange sound.
I was talking to my daughter. I was in the driveway. She was standing on the front porch, my oldest daughter. I was talking to her. And this thing starts up. And while it was doing it, she was like, "What is that?" I said, "I think it's an owl." She said, "I don't know what that is, but I'm going inside." Like, it freaked her out. She just went back inside. She wasn't dealing with it. So I kept listening. And here was another weird thing. Like, I kept listening to it. You gonna play it?
Let me play it again. Hang on.
I'm not hearing anything.
I bet. Let me try it one more time. Try it this way.
Still nothing.
Not working?
Nope. Not getting anything. Let me try it. Let me try it for mine. See if it does any better. Anything?
I heard the first one just a little bit, just barely.
Let me remove that. Let me pump this up. Whoa, that's really loud. Did you hear it that time?
You could hear it better that time. It's not as clear, obviously, if it was like, you know, but you could hear it better.
Let's go one more time.
Play the first one again. It's the beginning of it. That's when you can hear the best.
So anyway, that was it.
Your mic's real low. Turn it back up.
Oh. How about that?
A little more.
About that? Yep. Better?
Yeah, you can go a little louder if you want. I can't hear, so.
Now I've done screwed everything up.
Okay, you're good now.
Okay. So that was... That was it. It was weird. And the other interesting. The other interesting thing with that, though, is every time that I would start trying to record it, it would stop. Like, it wouldn't do it. And I would literally put my phone away and back into my pocket, and it would pick it right back up. And finally, I think that's why the sound is a little off. I just stuck my hand in. I know this is sounds crazy, but I stuck my hand in my pocket with my back facing that direction, pulled my phone out, pressed play, started recording. I actually acted like I was walking the other direction and then kind of turned back around and just caught those two little calls, like 10 seconds.
When you post that and people listen to it, like the first ones, there's two sounds, there's two calls essentially. the first one's louder than the second one,
mm-hmm.
but it almost sounds like there's something responding to the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what it's like.
It sounds like there's two of them. Like one hits and another one hits, and there's nothing you hear, like the croaks of frogs, and you hear another one.
Well, I sent it to a bunch of people in, you know, our inner circle and our inner sanctum. And one of those being, you know, the people in our field's favorite biologist, our buddy Justin England. And he called me back and he said that to him, it almost sounded like a juvenile owl. And then he likened it to like a baby rooster, you know, a rooster that's first learning to crow. How, you know, they start sounding really wonky, you know, until they figure it out.
They hit puberty.
Yeah. He said it's kind of the same thing with owls. He said, but even with that, he still hasn't heard that exact thing. And then he ended it with, you know, Bigfoot does a lot of crazy sounds in the woods too. So even our favorite biologist doesn't really, like, he has what he thought, you know, on the logical end of it, and then ended it with the Justin England end of it, the cryptids of the Cornway. Like, yeah, this is what it probably is, but Bigfoot does a lot of crazy things. But I mean, I don't know, man. It was weird. And then, like, a day or two later, Ryan shoots us a message and says, bro, guys, I just saw an owl pick up a snake right out of the yard and take off. Like, if that's not an omen, I don't know what is. We have a messenger of Lilith picking up a messenger of Lucifer and just flying through the sky. So there's been a lot of crazy owl stuff going on with us again.
Yeah, I will say too, we've opened the pool up too. So obviously the frog population has increased. So that may have been the cause.
Yeah, it may be
of the owl moving in. The fact that it's calling during the middle of the day is really weird.
That is weird. It is weird. Usually,
dusk, not, you know,
there's a reason
dusk and right at daybreak, but like.
There's a reason that night shift is called a hoot owl and night owls. And yep. You know, it's because they hunt at night, you know, they're nocturnal creatures. So when you see them in the daytime, it's strange. It's a little strange. But anyway,
I definitely heard it.
It could totally just be, you know, owls doing what owls do. But it could also be what I would say is our biggest enemy out there sending some junk this way. And there's been other weird things going on around here that have picked up a little bit that I'm not really at liberty to get into, because I definitely know that they wouldn't want it being put out there. So, I know that's a real big teaser, but oh well, that's just what you get sometimes.
Sorry about it.
Sorry about it. It's my show. It's our show. I can tell you if I want to. I got a girlfriend, and I ain't telling. Not really, Monica. I don't really have a girlfriend. That was just a.
She's not listening to this.
She's definitely not listening to this. All right, but what I really wanted to get into tonight, okay, and I know this is, I don't even know how this is going to be as far as an episode and enjoyment-wise or levels, but it's just where I'm at, and I've got a bajillion other topics out there that we could get into and talk about that I've researched and done, but I don't have boots on the ground for those things, and I do, or at least am trying to for this, so we're just going to jump right into it. So I've told you and Ryan a little bit about it, but for you listeners, you know, most of you that are fans of this show, regular listeners of this show, you're also fans and regular listeners of the Confessionals and Tony's podcast. Well, there was a guy that came on Tony's show. It's probably been, I don't know, a little more than a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that. The guy's name is Glenn, and it's the only other time that I've ever sat down and listened to a podcast and heard Hayside, Virginia be mentioned. So, Lance, I know you listened to the episode. The episode was titled Virginia Mountain Dracula. And it was a wild, wild, wild story. Crazy encounter story. And when I first, I'm not going to lie at all, when I first started hearing it, I was like, man, I don't know. This is a lot.
It seemed a little too much. Yeah, it was a little too much.
But then I started thinking about it, and we kind of started talking about it. And when you look at it through different, okay, so just to paraphrase really quickly, this guy, Glenn, he grew up over around Oakwood, Virginia. His dad was a pastor and a coal miner. You know, he worked in a few different mines over in that area, Jewel Ridge, you know, the Oakwood, Van Sant, Grundy area. Well, then he left there and he came to our hometown of Hayside, Virginia, and worked in a mine here in Hayside, and they lived in this trailer in Hayside where he worked in the mine. So Glenn and I think a couple of his siblings and his older cousin or his aunt, something like that, they decided that they were going to go pick blackberries to make for his mom, Glenn's mom, to make a blackberry cobbler, to make a dessert. So they head up the mountain to pick blackberries. Well, as they're going up the mountain, first they see this big giant black snake that was so big that it was almost encircling them as it was going around, and it was hooded. It had a hood like a cobra, and it was like waving like a sea serpent would, like almost jumping as it was going around. So they were able to get away from this thing and head on up the mountain. Now, we have really big black snakes around here, but I've never encountered one with that kind of description. Oh, and he said it had almost human type, had human like eyes, which is creepy. That's super creepy. So they get on up there, on up the mountain, and they get to this old cemetery. And when they get to this cemetery, in a glass coffin that was like even with the ground, it wasn't buried, you know, 6 feet deep. It wasn't like on a pedestal. It was like even with the ground. They see this glass coffin, and inside is a body. And the body is slick back, jet black hair, you know, really pale face. This
Dracula.
It's velvety. This velvety robe, like, you know, cape kind of thing on. Hands folded across, and was wearing an amulet that said Dracula.
And this is the point of the podcast. I was like, snake, maybe. Like, okay, I'm 8 years old and I see a huge snake. I can see myself embellishing that to think that it was had eyes and was trying to kill me.
Yeah.
So I was in, right? And then he said he rode up on Dracula on some mountain in Hayside. I said, I don't know, man. This is a little much.
Yeah. And that's where I was,
but
too.
It gets better.
I was like, okay, all right, man, I don't know. So he, and I promise, this isn't just a year old podcast review that we're doing here. I promise this is going somewhere. So he, you know, they leave there, and you know, they're kind of freaked out about that, but you know, it's like, well, I mean, we're still in the middle of the woods. We got to get back home. We've got these blackberries. Well, they encounter this man who he's saying, he says is wearing like earthy colors, like greenish brownish type of clothes colors. And with this man, he has a black dog. And this black dog is like foaming at the mouth. And he said the smell is just awful, that it smells like vomit coming from this dog. And this man starts threatening him. I mean, just straight up, like, y'all got to get out of here. You got to go. I mean, I better not catch you back up on this mountain again. I better not catch you in this area again. If I do, I'm going to kill you. Well, again, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, this is just some crazy old landowner here. You know, a lot of people don't like you being on their land. But this guy, oh, he's also wearing this hat. He's wearing this type of earthy colored hat. This guy, just, he says, to show off his power, transforms into like a smoke, a mist, a black smoke, him and the dog. And they go into the top of this tree. And then they turn into smoke again and come back down from the top of the tree. And he says he remembers looking up and seeing that the hat was still in the tree when they come back down. So again, this is crazy. Like, Glenn is, you know, a kid, 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever it was. And he's having this encounter with this old man and dog entity, you know, whatever it is. And he's kind of stalling there and, you know, stalling this thing, whatever it is, while the rest of his bunch is heading back down the mountain. And he said it was like a real bit, like a switchback mountain, you know, an old logging road that went up the mountain. So he, you know, his family starts heading back down the mountain and he's kind of stalling. And this thing's, you know, he's telling him again, like, look, you better not come back up here or I'll kill you. So Glenn takes back, you know, he sees they're almost at the bottom of the mountain. So he takes back off down the mountain. As he takes back off, he says this thing is popping up. Like, you know, he's not even going around the road. He's just cutting straight down the mountain. And every time he gets to one of these switchbacks or these portions of the road, the guy and the dog is standing right there, you know, pretty much. And he said he knew the whole time he was going to die. Well, obviously he didn't. He's telling the story, you know, 30, 40 years later, whatever. So, wild story. Super wild story. You take with it, and he talked about a whole lot of other things that make a lot more sense. But just as far as that encounter, this is the only other time that I've heard a guest come on any podcast besides ours or people that we've sent other places and talked about having some kind of crazy encounter, especially this crazy, in Hayside, Virginia. So for over a year now, I've been trying to contact this guy. I've been trying to get this guy's contact information. All I had was his first name, that he lives somewhere in the Knoxville area. It's a pretty big area. A lot of guys named Glenn. And that at one point in time, when he was a kid, he lived in Hayside and had this wild experience. Never could find him. You know, I reached out to Tony. I was like, look, dude, I've got to talk to this guy. Tony, being the good host that he is, you know, keeping stuff confidential with the guests that he has come on that want things to be kept confidential. He wouldn't give me the info. He's like, look, dude, you just got to figure it out from what's there. You know, I wouldn't care a bit to send him your way, but the guy didn't want his last name mentioned, you know, all this and that. So for over a year, could not find this guy. So I just gave up on it. Yeah, crazy story. And then we've talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it on here or not or whatever. I don't remember. But we've talked about, like, what this could have been, in our opinions, what this could have been. And me personally, I feel like this was probably some kind of entity, some kind of, I hate to use a word as strong as principality, but something that had some kind of dominion or area of control over this particular area, right? Like, that's just how I feel. Like, this is something that resided here in this area on this mountain and didn't want to be, you know, wanted to be left alone. And then these other things, you know, the snake, the Dracula, me personally, I feel like this is some kind of entity that had the ability to project like screen memories, like had the ability to make these kids see what it wanted them to see. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I agree.
Like, as an 8-year-old kid, if you're in the woods and I want you to be out of an area that, and I don't want to show myself right off the bat, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to show you the scariest things that I think an 8-year-old kid would, you know, would make them turn away and leave. A big giant snake. You know, this is the early 80s, I think. Let's show him Dracula in a glass coffin. Every kid's scared of Dracula. Everybody knows the name Dracula. So let's show them that. Like, me personally, that's what I feel like this was. And then these two images, these two projected images into their environment that this thing gave them, it didn't do enough to deter them. So it showed itself. And maybe it wasn't its, you know, full form. Maybe it was. I don't know. I don't know. But then, just a few weeks ago, out of nowhere, Glenn sends me a message, or sends the show a message on Facebook, sends the link to the episode with a little brief synopsis of what he experienced, and asks me if anybody else has had these experiences or experienced this entity and a black dog in the area. So I had my in, right? Like, for over a year, I've been wanting to talk to this guy. More than anything, I've been wanting to know where this took place. Like, got to go check it out. And now I know. And that's the craziest thing. Everything checks out. There ain't a piece of his story, as far as location, where he was, the mountain, the cemetery, all that. It all checks out. So I start talking to Dad, because Glenn gives me, like, he couldn't remember road names or anything like that. And he said they've probably changed by this time anyway. But he gives me step-by-step directions on where this is, where it happened, where it took place. But the only problem is he kept talking about this mine in Hayside. But the area that he was talking about, there's no mine there. And there hasn't been a mine there as far back as I can remember. So I was like, well, I mean, you know, is it the right place? Is he confused? You know, what's going on? So after my wife's graduation, we all went out, you know, the family went out to eat afterwards, just kind of celebrate. So I started asking my dad. Well, Dad says this area that I'm talking about, that there was a mine there, would have been there during this time. And this mine would have been directly under this mountain where this took place. While this was taking place, they would have been standing on top
of the mine.
Of the mine.
Well, that's interesting.
the trailers that he's talking about, one of the trailers that he lived in, you can go back that way. There's still a couple trailers sitting up on the hill. And what looked like it would have been, you know, like a trailer park, you know, kind of worker housing area at that time. So, what's one of our theories that we talk about on here all the time? That these old gods
trapped in the mine.
Are trapped, imprisoned under the mountains. And these mines are an extremely layered outfit. But one of the reasons is because this Nephilim bloodline of CEOs and all these people, these corporate head honchos come in and they're digging and they're trying to release them. It just, it's crazy. It's nuts, but it all checks out. So I went on a little reconnaissance mission the other day. I had a little bit of spare time and I was going to drive up as far as I could drive and then just kind of hike up the mountain to where I thought that this would be. Well, as soon as you turn off the road, there's a big gate up now. So it would be a walk from that gate regardless. And it's, you know, no trespassing, you know, all this different stuff is on the gate. So I mean, when we go in, we're going to have to, let me put it this way. I'm going to have to find the best route to get in there without getting shot. That's the way I'm going to put it. Which also throws in, and my conspiracy brain starts questioning and wondering why. Why can I go anywhere on any mountain that I want to in the town of Heysai? I mean, shoot, I drive on a little road right by the jail to get down to our rock, right by a super secure jail authority to get down to our rock. Why can't I get to here? Nobody lives back there. Nobody.
GIS, who owns the land?
Nope, I haven't.
But yeah, that's something I'll do. Okay, write that down.
That's a Lance homework project.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a mine on it, at some point, it's been Lynchfield or whoever, right? I mean, they at least had the rights to it at some point.
Yeah. And there used to be an old yard that sat on the other side of that gate. It was some kind of company and some kind of something doing something, but I can't remember. I just remember it looked like an old scrap yard. But
what is that?
Okay,
give
so
me a general.
You head across the bridge, going up big. Okay, I'm gonna tell a really terrible story on me one time because you were right there with me. We were heading to baseball practice one day. And there was a guy hitchhiking on the side of the road. And I pulled over.
Hickey
and
up.
You rolled your window down. And I said, hey, buddy, need a lift? And he said, yeah. I said, well, stick a jack up your butt. That'll lift you. And then took off. And he started throwing rocks at us. Remember?
So stupid. Yeah, I remember that. Can you imagine doing it to somebody now?
No, dude. Teenage boys are so stupid. Like, I think back on this stuff and I'm like, God,
I think a small part of me thought we were going to pick him up, too.
We were never
going really to pick him up. That we were going to pick him up.
It was probably this old man entity and his dog. He's probably going to come back and haunt me.
Oh, man.
It was there.
So as you're just headed up Big Ridge. Okay.
If you turn right there,
Yeah. Yeah.
and you go up by those train tracks. That road goes on out by those train tracks for a good little piece. There's some trailers up on the hill on your left. And then that mountain goes straight up there. Now, Glenn told me that when he was a kid and went up there, that to him, it felt like this cemetery was like an actual cemetery. But when he went back in 2017, he said he barely could find the place, number one. But number two, the stones that were there where this place was, he said it just looked different. And I mean, sure, you know, if it's not being taken care of, you know, it's going to get overgrown. You know, a lot of stuff is going to happen. But he said that something along the line, and I may be getting it wrong here, and I plan to have him on the show at some point pretty soon, just to try to pick his brain and get it all out there. But he said something along the lines of when he was a kid and he went up there, it seemed like, you know, a legitimate cemetery. But when he went back, like the stones were almost just like one of these really old cemeteries that you find out in the middle of the woods where you just have like actual stones with maybe some, you know, some initials. Yeah. He said that's what it looked like then, but it was definitely the same place. I'm saying all that to say all this. We have got to get up there and check the place out. Monica won't let me take Connor. And I don't want to do it by myself.
No, I'm kidding.
That's what this all really boils down to. I don't want to do it by myself. Because I don't know if you know this or not. Being in the realm that the weird things that we talk about. But people go missing in the woods. Like a lot. There's this whole thing called missing 411. And I don't like it. I don't like it.
Just because we're on the...
Well, while you're doing that, it led me into researching black dogs.
Okay.
Right. Now, the first thing with anything that you ever pull up, it's a Wikipedia page right off the bat, right? You know, the greatest resource material out there, Wikipedia. But just the first paragraph of it. The black dog in folklore is a supernatural, spectral, or demonic hellhound originating from English folklore that has also been seen throughout Europe and the Americas. It is usually unnaturally large with glowing red or yellow eyes, is often connected with the devil as an English incarnation of the hellhound, and is sometimes an omen of death. It is sometimes associated with electrical storms. Now, I'm going somewhere with this too. It is sometimes associated with electrical storms, such as Black Shuck's appearance at Bungay, Suffolk, however you say it, and also with Crossroads, Barrows as a type of fairy hound, places of execution, and ancient pathways. Okay, black dogs are generally regarded as sinister or malevolent, and a few, such as the Bargus and Shuck, are said to be directly harmful. All right. So there was another place that I read the other day. I think it was in Welsh or Irish or Scottish, somewhere there. You know, some of our old homeland and home folk. It was in their folklore that oftentimes this black dog was seen alongside like a handler that would kind of take on the role in their mind, in their folklore, as pretty much like we would see the Grim Reaper. Mm-hmm. But instead of this hooded figure with a sickle or a scythe, it would be this old man with a black dog. So it's in folklore everywhere. It's in folklore all in, you know, across Europe, in the Americas, in England. Like, it's in the folklore all over the place. But what really stuck out to me there, well, two things that really stuck out to me were places of execution, because this happened around a really old cemetery. Now, do I know for sure if somebody got executed, if somebody was murdered here at this spot? No, I don't know that. Would it surprise me? Absolutely not. Because if you go back and you start reading about the original days, the founding, the building up of the town of Heysai, dude, it was the Wild West. It was every Wild West movie that you've ever watched in your entire life. I mean, it was hardcore. Like deputies having standoffs in the streets. It was wild. But the other thing that stood out to me, and this is just from observation, what it mentions here is it's sometimes seen with electrical storms. Okay, there are two places throughout the main town of Heysai that has a three-phase power line and a right-of-way going like over top of the street as you're going down Heysai. Okay?
Right.
One of those places is right off of our rock.
Yeah.
To where it's still a mystery. We have no idea what's going on with it. And now, you know, we feel what we feel when we're there. And now we have stories from an elderly man in the community who says that he sees lights shooting up from the place. The other place is directly over where this encounter would have happened.
So I'm on Google Maps, which doesn't like clearest, but I have found the trailer, like the old seat beds where they would have been, like the trailer park where it was sitting at,
mm-hmm.
and the little roads around the trailers. You can see those on Google Maps.
Yeah.
Where the trailers, and if you go directly up the mountain from those trailers. So this is essentially in a straight line with the old Splash Jam Church.
Yep.
Those trailers sit right there up the mountain. If you head on up the mountain, there's a road that you actually can get down about halfway down the mountain, like an actual state road. But from that road to the river, essentially, is just the whole mountainside. But you can see old strip benches where it's been stripped.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, either way it goes, we got to go check it out.
Which would be, I'm just trying to zoom out here, which would be, this is an absolute straight line. I mean, a straight line. If you put in point A where the rock was at and point B to where those trailers were at, it is a straight line.
See, dude, that's so nuts. Right. That's so crazy.
Right in. Like if you have had a, I guess it would be a latitudinal or longitudinal line, I bet they fall in the same. They fall in the same degrees. They'd have to. That's kind of crazy.
It's really crazy. But then it also brings about the question, like, I don't know, man. It brings about the question, like, do these experiences, do these encounters, is there some kind of something going on with the veil when you have all this electricity running through an area?
You know, on top of the ridge, if you stand underneath those, you can, if you have, I'm riding the back of the truck going across there back when I was a kid, like, as soon as you cross the internet, you could hear and feel.
Oh, yeah.
Popping and you hear them.
Yeah, you can hear it. The hair on your arms will stand up. Like, you can feel the static. And so that's the thing for me. Like, is there something to do with, like, my dad? He will never, ever, ever talk about anything crazy. Like, he's a total and complete skeptic. You know, my whole Shadow Man stuff going through it, dad would just, oh, y'all are all crazy. He'd go to bed like it was nothing. He's told me one story to where he fully thinks that he saw Bigfoot. And it happened right around the ridge where I live now, right in the middle of a power line right away.
No, if you start to, I don't know, this is woo-woo, right? This is what we're doing now at this point.
At this point, it's what we're doing for 2.5 years. What are you talking about?
If you start to pull in some of what Terrence Howard said on Rogan a couple weeks ago, his, you know, his breaking at the periodic table and seeing things, you know, all the, and it's been getting a ton of criticism and review and people like, this one of the most polarizing episodes on Rogan in quite some time. Some of the theories and some of the science and the patents and all the things that he's done, but the whole premise of that, right? And if you listen to it, if you haven't, that's fine. If you do, buckle up, because he talks real smart to try to make you feel real stupid a lot of times. And he successfully does that. But at the center of a lot of that is that pretty much all of the universe, right? Everything, periodic table, all the stuff he talks about, it's all predicated on electricity. It's essentially all that is. He describes gravity as the counter result of electricity, right? You have magnetism and electricity, and then the residue left over is gravity. And he goes on this huge diatribe about how gravity has become science's God and all this different stuff. They can't really explain it, but you can't. But the premise of all of that is magnetism and electricity, right? That the forces that are there, we know they're there, but you can't really see them, but you feel the presence of them. And if Bigfoot and these entities are interdimensional, right, and they are able to bounce in and out of places and hop down strip benches at the blink of an eye and show up before an 8-year-old kid, and if you want to wrap your mind around that and think that that actually happened, and then try to logically explain why it happened, you think of an electrical current, right? Because that's exactly what that is. It's being able to shoot energy from one spot to the next instantaneously, as you can do with electricity, right? That's how we power everything. It's essentially just pumping the energy really fast all throughout the globe. It's generated from their electrical centers, right? They make it and then they put it into the lines. And then you think about how in the world your house is being powered with electricity. It's being generated hundreds of miles away. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
So the only reasonable explanation of all those things is that they're able to tap into their whatever their actual life force, right, is magnetism and electricity. And that's how that's why Bigfoot's there 1 second and he's gone. And we don't have the capabilities to be able to do that in our physical state. But if you're able to harness that type of energy, then that runs you right into your, you know, ancient technologies and building of all these different things that are around the pyramids and all these unexplainable things that we have that we can see, right? But everybody has an explanation, but nobody knows for sure. Well, then if you start just tapping into the idea that these other civilizations, these older civilizations, or these Bigfoot, or these cryptids, or these entities, these principalities, whatever, they have access and know how to use this, right? And then you think, all right, and then that leads us right into our aliens and grays and the fact that those UFOs have propulsion that we don't understand and are able to go up and down and tic-tac off. If they're using electricity and magnetism in a way we don't just simply can't comprehend yet, then all of this fits into that box.
Yeah.
It's all possible. It's all realistic. And it's able to be postulated to begin to see why they are able to do that if you consider that they're using essentially what the force of the earth has already.
Yeah, it would make sense. It would make sense.
And maybe we just, you know, don't have the capabilities to understand that yet, right? And, you know, we haven't advanced that far technologically as a civilization yet. But, I mean, once you're able to tap into that, then is that the final boss? Like, is that the moment in which we then transcend to what we're trying to, as a human race, get to? I
don't know. It's
a pretty, like,
big. It's wild, dude.
It's a pretty wild kind of idea to think about. But if I have the ability to harness, you know, magnetism and electricity just with something I have developed or just within me, it's superhero stuff, right? It's,
yeah.
It makes
absolutely
the ability to be able to do virtually anything that I want.
Well, it's like you're talking about. I mean, that would be teleportation. That would be the ability to phase in and phase out, you know.
Free energy, no need for any. And do people know how to do that? And they've just kept it from us because you
probably
can't profit.
Probably.
You can't profit off of that.
Look what happened with Tesla.
We all have access to that, and there's no profit to that.
Yeah, look what happened.
This is all, like, let's preface this, right? This is woo-woo, right? This is Lance's crazy corner here, but. I mean, if you want to try to reasonably begin to explain some of these crazy things, which is what I like to try to do, you just take one variable of the ability to tap into something that is already here anyways, and use it. It's no different than us using water to power stuff.
Well, I mean, it would have to be because it's not like they're pulling out like some kind of technological device from their pocket or have it on their wrist and they say, bloop, you know, I'm out. Like, it would have to be something that's naturally occurring that they have the wherewithal and the ability to utilize that we're just not capable, or maybe we are capable of, and we just don't know how to harness that.
It's not that. I mean, that's not the creating of anything. That's simply just using what's already here. Right?
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Not playing God and saying, you know, let there be light, let there be electricity. That's not what that is. That's just being able to.
It's already here. It's already using His creation.
Yeah, it's already been being put here.
I don't know, man. It's wild.
A different Bluetooth or a cell phone signal. Like, it's the same kind of concept.
Dude, it's magic. It's magic.
It's magic because we don't understand it.
Right.
It's not
what we're doing right now is magic.
It's, yeah, but we call it magic because we don't understand it.
Ain't that magic?
Right. Exactly. Right. But that's as soon as you understand it, it's no longer magic.
Then it becomes technology.
And it becomes technology and becomes just, you know, what we do.
Yeah.
It becomes part of the fiber of who we are.
All technology is magic to a primitive people.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's
but it
crazy.
Would make sense that there's obviously great. I wonder if those. Surely that was running through there in the '80s. Yeah, it had to have been.
Had to have been.
Because I don't.
Especially with a mind,
we would remember that. We would remember putting those. You know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Those have been there for a long, long time.
For sure.
I don't know. It begins. I mean, it gives you reason and a way to begin to explain the possibility of this absolutely wild story that I still partly think is pretty good fabrication of young man's, you know, imagination at 8.
And it very well could be.
But
But I don't know, man. When you can,
here's the explanation to it.
Yeah, when you can genuinely and sincerely seek somebody out and ask them, have you talked to anybody else with these kinds of experiences? And then pinpoint the location and then, you know, give step-by-step directions to their, like, to me, that leads a whole lot of credence. Like, look, I experienced something and I want to understand what I experienced. I want to know if other people have seen this, have encountered this. Like, it's like a genuine curiosity and concern that's there. I mean, I've had a lot of experiences that sound crazy, but that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now, because I'm constantly searching for answers that we'll probably never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence. Sorry, I said, I throw that in there.
Deep cut. Not really, but it's fun to think about. And even, I mean, it's a good conversation to have, because it, for me at least, it allows me to put like physical possibility on some of the impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just saying that Bigfoot just jumps in a portal and goes away. I'm never going to agree with that. Like, it's the fact that I think Bigfoot's real is a big step for me, but like, I'm never going to be able to agree with he just generates a portal and it goes away. But if he has the ability
to manipulate the electric current,
absolutely. Now that makes sense. I don't know how he does it, but it makes sense to me why he would be able to bounce.
Yeah.
Or any of these things, able to bounce or be able to generate a screen memory or a screen image for you to scare somebody. Like, you know, be able to project Dracula. If you could tap in, yeah, you could manipulate and do stuff with colors and you could do that. Like, just knowing how to do it.
Well, I mean, how many of these like abduction cases?
All simulation, man. It's all simulation.
Maybe God's just the ultimate programmer. Maybe that's how
it is. Definitely is, but like,
I don't know, dude. It's all crazy. All I know is the two weirdest places in our hometown. Well, you know, my hometown, your used to be hometown area.
It's still home, baby. It's still home.
Always going to be home.
Take a boy out of Hayside.
But you can't take guys out of you, boy. It's just crazy to me that the two weirdest places in our hometown have these similarities.
Yeah, no, I agree. When the next time we go to the Rock, we need to take like a voltmeter with us.
Yeah, we do.
And just kind of see what happens. That's easy, simple to take with us. Just stick it in the ground.
Take an EMF meter, take a voltmeter.
All stuff that we have. Just to see what happens. If we get nothing, it's nothing, right? But
yeah.
What if we get something?
And it could even be one of those things like, okay, maybe that explains the feeling that you have while you're there. Because you have all this current running through, just like you were talking about earlier. When you pass through, I mean, it's far enough away from the power line. You can't hear them crackling and doing all that different stuff. But I mean, still, maybe there's enough current coming through there that, you know, would explain the feeling that you have. I don't know, man. All I know.
Maybe there's some natural current there anyways, and that's why they ran the power lines.
Dude, that's what I was thinking the other day. Like, how do they decide where they're going to run line? I mean, do we just pick the easiest spot? Because I've seen a whole lot of power line right-of-ways, and sometimes they are not in the easiest spots to get to or the places that make the most sense.
Yeah, most of the time it's the dumbest place possible.
Yeah, from ridge top to ridge top. Like, how do we even get this over there? I don't know, but they did.
They just shoot it with a catapult? Like, how did this happen?
I don't know how they do it. I think they teleport over there from one end to the other. I don't know. But they don't always make sense. So that's another thing. Like, how do they decide where to put these things? Do they put them in places that already have some kind of really strong, you know, geomagnetical earth force and pull that will help out with the
people who own a lot of money? Better word, power. And they just, maybe somebody's telling them. I don't know, man. A lot more woo-woo than I usually like to get. But
I don't know. It's crazy, though. It's crazy.
You don't have Ryan here to make us laugh. He comes up with even crazier theories than normally do. Keeps us grounded.
And again, I wasn't trying to make this like a, you know, a podcast review. I wasn't trying to make this like something, but this is just where I'm at right now. Like, I'm always, always going to be searching in my own backyard. I mean, look where that's gotten us so far. There's a lot of weird right here. We don't have to go anywhere else. There's so much weirdness right here in our own backyard. That's why we're never, ever going to run out of material. And all we ever have to do is focus on, well, here, but Appalachia in you know, the whole, in its entirety. There's so much weirdness, dude. We never have to stray away. I don't know, man. We definitely have to get up here to this place, and eventually I think we're just going to have to make a documentary about Haysi. Right down the road is the mine, the old number 6 mine. It was opened in 1930, where you had that mine explosion, killed 10 people, and then this.
This is what they did at Splash Dam. Oh, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, crazy stuff, man. The old.
Holy cow. Like,
yeah.
You know, imagine 1913 just rolling logs down. I mean, right, dude.
It's nuts. It's
not a different generation, Bush.
The old story. Well, just the, like I was telling you, I mean, when the place opened up, it was the Wild West. I mean, just getting into some of that would be so interesting. The old conflicts between the settlers and the natives, to where the natives were literally telling people that there were tunnels and passages within the mountains that they could get from one side to the other without ever seeing daylight. I mean, just so much crazy stuff, dude. Then Iraq. Now this place. It's a lot. We can throw the breaks in there and all the wild stories that come from the breaks. I still never got up with that guy that came on Tinfoil Hat's live show and talked about being in the Breaks Interstate Park and finding some kind of alien laser weapon. Never did get up that guy. I don't even know. So if you're hearing this,
the potential that Crowley was in the breaks, I mean, that.
Yeah. Yeah. The potential that Crowley was in the breaks, Nathan Isaacs and the Penny Royal crew and that artist that he was working with going to come back and do the entire whatever Pan ceremony that was going on there, like Night of Pan or whatever it was. There's a lot. There's a lot.
I wonder if people think great.
But
I wonder,
like I am oft to do, I've infiltrated the breaks now. Both of my older kids now work, are employees of the Breaks Interstate Park. And I'm going to have them asking all kinds of questions.
There's got to be somebody over there that knows some stuff.
Dude, there has to be. Like, you know, there has to be a secret file stashed away somewhere.
Yeah. Or it's just heard, you know. There's got to be some legends running around there.
Has to be. I don't know, man. So y'all look out for that documentary that we got coming in the next, between now and like 2050, there will be a documentary about Heisei under, I think we're changing the name, Goose Squatch Media. Think you're just going to run in there with your little sword on the king of the Goose Squatch? No, we ain't doing that. Let's close this thing down, brother. It's after midnight. Let's close it down. It's been fun. You got anything else you want to out of Lance's crazy corner before we shut this thing down?
We dove into it tonight a little bit. Sorry.
No, I'm good. Look, I'm glad somebody else has a crazy corner for once.
Listen, I have. I know you want to close it up. I got a few more things I need to say. So, the episode with Terrence Howard on Rogan, like, I've read quite a bit about some of the scientists that Terrence Howard kind of pulls from. So, I kind of had a pretty good understanding of that theory. But hearing him kind of explain some of this stuff, like, that was like, he starts talking periodic table, like that was right up my alley. Like that was just something that I have always kind of enjoyed. When he started explaining some of the things about it, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, it's a heavy listen. Like there's a lot there. And like I said, he tries to talk smart to confuse you. I think it's purposely done at times. But just that whole premise that all of those elements kind of work on factors of wavelengths that kind of fold into each other. Like it just makes so much intelligent design sense to me that it was really one of those things. Like I listened to it like 3 or 4 times and it's like, it's a long podcast, but it just makes so much intelligent design. Like everything God creates, like it's, you know, right at the beginning of everything was perfect, right? And again, this is definitely my worldview on things, and not everybody agrees with it, and that's fine, but everything was perfect at the beginning and stuff, right? So if everything was perfect at the beginning and stuff, then everything had to work together. It's the only way things that are perfect work together, right? The imperfectness is when things begin to break down, right? So if you can get back to the core of that, then those things had to have enveloped into each other and worked beside each other to make things obviously much better than they are now. And because of, you know, the fall of man and sin, also that happened with the curse, right? And then just the constant degradation of bodies and earth as a whole, because it was once perfect and now it's not. You know, evolution says that we're trying to get back to a more perfect state. And I don't agree with that. I think we have started a perfect state and we're just continuing to digress and we'll continue to do so. And if you can, I mean, I was like, this all makes total sense. Like, it had to have been this way. It had to have worked this way. What other reason was there? We have all these elements. We have all these things. We have all these scientific laws, like, you know, magnetism and all this different stuff. But at some point, all these things would have had to have been in perfect union because the world was a perfect place. So if you can find out how that works, then you begin to use things in the way in which God intended to start with anyways. And in using things the way he intended is what he has called us to be stewards of. You know, he tells us to take care of this place. And if we're using the things in the way he's intended, then we're doing what God wants us to do anyways. Right? And we're being good stewards of the stuff that he's given us. And I was like, holy cow, this makes so much sense.
Yeah,
and then you've seen this—the constant fighting against that idea, because, right, the other side of the coin doesn't want us to use things the way God intended, and didn't use things the way God intended. That's why we had the fallen man. That's why we had the angels coming down and sleeping with the daughters of men and creating all these terrible things. And that's why you had the Nephilim that were there, right? It's the other side of the coin. So if you're using these things the correct way, you're using in the way in which God intended, then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway. Then it becomes very fibrous who you are in working as a person.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It does make sense. Well, I haven't listened to the episode because there's been so much back and forth on it that I've seen in the socials that I was like, nah, I'm not even getting into it.
And like, he starts off talking about how he can remember stuff from the womb. Like some of the stuff he says, I was like, ah, come on, buddy. Like,
come on, Terrence.
But when Terrence. He gets into the actual science behind what he is trying to describe, not the math, and he uses a cute little trick and makes things sound smart. But if you, I don't care about any of that, right? But when you start to begin looking at the actual physical science of what he's talking about, everything just works together.
Look, I can't take anything he says serious because he didn't even make it to be War Machine. Okay. He didn't even make it.
It's true.
The first Iron Man, and then he was out.
All right. I could go on for a while with this, but it's just, it's very, very, very interesting.
No, I'll definitely have to listen to it. It's one of those, you know, I've heard a lot of people's, review on the like you're giving right now and how, you know, what a heavy listen it is and how hard it is to try to keep up with and you know, decipher if what he's saying is, you know, scientifically legit or not, you know, all this different stuff. And I just haven't, you know, I'm trying to find an old god with his black dog. Where I'm at.
I think this may help. You need to listen.
Okay. Well, Terrence, come to ASI. And
better yet, Terrence, just come on the show.
Yeah, Terrence, just come on the show. But talk to us like we're five.
To us. Come explain to me, Justin, and Ryan. All of those.
Not Joe Rogan. I have not read nearly as many books as Joe. I am not as up to speed with all of the, I don't know, knowledgeable things that go on in this world. We're not Joe Rogan. Okay. So Terrence, you come on the show. This is an open invitation to Appalachian Intelligence, but please explain this to us like you're teaching a preschool class. Because if you start getting crazy and using big words on me, I'm going to shut you down. I ain't going to let you go like Joe let you go. I'm going to shut you right down and say, I don't know what any of that means, fake war machine. So you tell me, explain to me like I'm five, what all that stuff means. And if you can't, we're nixing it. I ain't paying any more attention. If you can't take Legos and show me what you're talking about, then we're done here. Terrence.
That's the thing, like, towards the middle of the episode, he kind of does take some Legos and shows some videos.
Oh, great.
You start to see it, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
Now I'm really going to have to.
I'm not saying he's right. Like, nobody's listening at this point anyways, but, like, I'm not saying that he's right.
Terrence.
But it makes sense at what he's saying.
Thinks he's gangsta. His real name's Terrence. And Terrence lives at home with both parents. And Terrence's parents have a real good marriage. I've referenced 8 Mile twice tonight. That's pretty good. Now is my jokey time because you're speaking on something I have absolutely no idea because I haven't listened to it. But what you're saying to me makes sense because you know you have to speak to me like I'm five. All right. I'll listen to it, but I'm not happy about it.
You need to. And then call me when you listen to it, after you listen to it. Like, don't text me. Call me.
Okay. I will Monday. Monday, right. I will listen, and I'll call you directly after.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's shut her down, honey. You heel folk know where you can find us. all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube. Come in, join the community, hang out, even if we're just in and out and you know, not in there a whole bunch. Come hang out with each other. It's a cool community, cool place, a lot of cool people in there. So come hang out. Keep sharing those 5-star ratings and reviews. They help us out tremendously. They keep us up in the rankings somehow, even when we only publish 3 episodes in 2 months. We still stay up in the rankings, and that's all because of y'all. And it obviously has nothing to do with what we're doing. So we appreciate that. So keep sharing those. Send us your stories at AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. Go check us out over on Patreon. You can support us that way. You can click the support the show link that will be listed in the show notes to make a one-time donation of any amount. It helps with our boots on the ground expeditions when I'm running back off the mountain from some green man entity and his black snarling vomit breath dog chasing me, when I'm having to jump over black snakes and Draculas. And by the time I get down there, I'm going to be starved to death. So give me money that I can stop at Pizza Plus, give me an order of breadsticks, my little side salad, a Dr. Pepper, and get back to myself. So please support us that way. But the biggest way, you guys know that you can support the show, is by sharing the show. Share it word of mouth, share it on social media, put it on a billboard. I mean, scream it from the mountaintops. Just share the show. However you're most comfortable sharing it. It's the only way the show grows. We appreciate that. Oh, yeah. Another thing that I'm going to throw out there. So I'm in the beginning stages of fiddling around on Substack. You know, I've teased my writing and stuff on here quite a bit, but I think I'm actually going to start doing some legitimate writing, and I'm just going to do it over on Substack. So you can go ahead and check me out over there. The publication name is Appalachian Allegoria. Pretty cool, I think.
Pretty good, bud.
I haven't published anything yet. I do have the first chapter of something I've been working on there and ready to publish. I've just been too nervous to do it yet. I don't know why.
Out there, put it out there.
But I haven't done it yet. But if you do want to go over there, check it out. I'm still trying to figure it out. I really don't have any idea how it works. I've just set it up and I have something on there ready to push publish, but I get too afraid before I click it. So I'm getting nervous just talking about it. So now we're going to end the show before everybody starts laughing at me and making fun. But please just...
Lovians mean it.
And please just subscribe to everything. Please. Love you, buddy.
Love you, bud.
Heal folk, you know we love y'all. And until next time, we'll see y'all later.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.